Thank you for joining us. We hope this message will be a blessing to you as you experience the love of God, grow in community, and discover and live out God's purpose for your life. Now, let's get into the message with Pastor Will.
Well, let's get into the Word of God. I was telling our praise team earlier today that in my message and even speaking with the young people, we'll be talking about angels, and they sang that song, Holy Forever. I believe that we as people, I'll talk about the Holy Spirit first. We as believers in Jesus Christ, we do not depend upon the Holy Spirit enough. So when you receive Jesus into your life as your personal Lord and Savior, the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within your heart. So that means that the teacher, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the standby, these are all different names that's given for the Holy Spirit, the comforter, is available to us 100% of the time, 24/7. But a lot of times we don't acknowledge the Holy Spirit. And then there are angels, which is different than the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of God. And then you have angels who are also spirits. One scripture says that they're ministering spirits sent forth to serve those who have inherited salvation. So those who have inherited or received salvation, these angels are there. They're called ministering spirits to help us. So not only do you have the Spirit of God on the inside of you, you also got these angels that's there to help us as well. Man. So that means that whatever situation I get into in my life, I am never alone. Man, receive that. Like, I am never alone. So some people may say, I don't feel the Holy Spirit. Like, I can't hear or sense God. Well, yep, I get that. Sometimes we may be in a situation where it's hard for us to hear it, but that does not dismiss the fact that He is present with us. Nor does it dismiss the fact that there are these angels that's there to help guide and protect and help us in our life as well. Amen. So one of our mentors years ago used to say, you know, we pray to God and say, God, like, why do I have this going on? God, I got this going on. 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 What's up, God? And he was like, you know, what if God turns back to you and say, I gave you my son, I gave you my word, I gave you my Holy Spirit, I gave you my angels, what's up? It's kind of like, are you using everything that God has made available unto us to help us in this life pertaining to life and godliness? Amen? So my hope is that even as they were singing that song, if you can imagine this, I'm going to talk about it in scripture a little bit, that angels are worshiping God in heaven 24/7. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. And so imagine this, if you can just picture this. When we come together, whether you're by yourself worshiping God or you're collective as a congregation, we are joining the congregation of the heavenly hosts in worshiping God. Man. And so we're here on earth, if you can just see this, we're here on earth and they are in heaven, which is a spiritual realm. But when we worship, it's as if we escape this space and we enter into a spiritual realm. And now heaven and earth are touching. And so that means that whatever my situation is in my life, if I bring that to worship, now God has an opportunity to touch it. And his angels have an opportunity to minister and do something as well. But oftentimes when we're worshiping, like sometimes I want to get from my seat and y'all not see me get from my seat. And I want to like come up here and stand behind the worship team, the praise team, and just look and see what the congregation is doing. And just see how many people are actually worshiping or they're just kind of like, I mean, maybe not standing like this, but, you know, just mentally somewhere else. And really, we sing multiple songs because honestly, the first song is kind of like, you know, I'm here. The second song is kind of like, all right. But hopefully by this third song, hopefully by the third song, the Holy Spirit, who is on the inside of me, has ushered me to the throne of God. And if you can just imagine, I often imagine this many times, is that the Holy Spirit has come, he got me from where I was. I was all in the flesh and my mind was all on other things and all I'm all distracted. And he's ushering me through these songs to the throne of God. And it's like me getting to the Holy of Holies, where in the Old Testament there was the courtyard where they had to just kind of get themselves together and wash their hands and get prepared, and that was called the outer courts. And then he got to the holy place, but then there was this place beyond the veil that was called the most holy place, and there was no conversation in that place because you came face to face with God. Every time we are worshiping, that's where the Holy Spirit is trying to get us, to the point where I'm not just hanging out here. This is the fleshly place. This is the place where I feel like I really don't even belong in God's presence. But then there's the place where we're lighting the incense and we're trying to get there. But then there's this place that's beyond the veil, where in the Old Testament, only the high priest would go once a year on behalf of the people. But when Jesus died on the cross, it says that the veil in the temple was torn from top to bottom. What does that mean? That each and every one of us can step into God's presence spiritually. And that's what worship is. There's no longer anything blocking us from God's presence. But it's like I can be here present and God can be present because he's omnipresent, but I don't know he's present because I'm not present because I'm somewhere else mentally. And God is challenging us to step into the place where he is, where his spirit is leading us. And for some of that is through worship to help us get there. Holy forever. Wow. If you can just picture what's going on in heaven around the throne room of God right now, that there are angels crying out, holy, holy, holy. And when we begin to get in rhythm with what heaven is saying, then many times that's when our situations are broken. Because sometimes we are not ascending to the next level in God. We are fighting down here. And God is saying, I need for you to get higher spiritually. We were talking about this in the back in the book of Daniel. Daniel prayed for an answer, and it says that the answer didn't come for 21 days. And the angel came and said, the first time that you prayed, God heard. The answer was on its way. The first time you prayed, the answer was on the way, but it was held up in the spiritual realm. And so sometimes whatever it is that we are praying for, you cannot see the manifestation of it because there is a battle that is going on in the spiritual realm and it does not want you to see what God is trying to show you. And I sent this message to the men, I believe, this week, that there is an intense battle, spiritual battle that's going on, and it's not one to become so afraid of, but it's one to become aware of. And if we are living our life as if it's just the same down here and not realizing up here there's this battle, you might just fall asleep. And just like Samson, when you wake up, you're going to realize that you're bound because you fell asleep. And so I'm saying this. Stay awake. Stay awake. Stay awake. So whatever God is prompting you to do, do it. There's a reason for it. It is not to just be holy. It is not to just, you know, because that's what Christian people do. It's a lifestyle. And there's a war raging any atmosphere. And if we are not awake, you will think that what you are going through is normal. And for a lot of people in here, the activity that is happening in your life is not normal. It is a spiritual battle for your soul. So first, it's a spiritual battle for your soul, where if you're not saved, for you to be in heaven. Then it's a spiritual battle for your soul, which is your mind, your will, and your emotions. The enemy wants to drive you crazy. The Bible says this in John 10:10, the thief comes only but to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. And then Jesus says, but I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly, so that your life will overflow into the lives of other people. But the enemy is saying, I want to put a cap on that. I want to steal your life, steal your joy, kill you and destroy you, eradicate you. I don't have to kill you physically for you to be dead spiritually, to be dormant, ineffective, going to church every Sunday, but not effective, not impactful. And that is what the enemy is after. And I pray right now that light bulbs are going off and saying, dang, maybe that's the reason why certain times I start getting sleepier, certain times I start getting irritated, certain times I get angry, certain times I have pain. Open up your eyes. It may just be a spiritual battle that is trying to stop you from being a witness for Jesus Christ. He's trying to water us down so that we are not powerful, so that we don't make an impact. Let me tell you, Jesus did not die on the cross. He didn't suffer. He was not beat and bruised and the thorns and so many different things that it says that his face was disconfigured. He did not deal with all of that, take all the sins and all of that upon himself just for us to just live our life like, well, if it happens, it happens. If it's good, it's good. Lackadaisical. You going to church? Maybe. I don't know. You going to read your Bible? You want to pray? I don't know if it works. Jesus did not die for that. He said, I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. Amen. So that's part of this message of on purpose. Let me say this to you. The enemy is doing what he is doing on purpose. He is not like, let me throw this and hope it sticks. Literally, there are strategic plans from the enemy studying our lives, and that's how he attacks. Amen? So he may say, I know on Tuesdays, you deal with this every Tuesday. Yep. And this is the way you operate because you deal with this every Tuesday. So his strategy is, well, I want to get you to get stuck mentally in Tuesday. I don't want you to advance to Wednesday. And sure enough, don't want you to make it to Thursday. And then Friday and Saturday and then back into church on Sunday. So if I can intensify things in your life on Tuesday, by the time you get to Thursday, you done had it up to here. Because he studies like a military operation, collecting data. The enemy is not everywhere at the same time, but based upon the third of those angels that fell out of heaven with him, what we call those demons, there are strategies and tactics that is observing our life. They are not all-knowing. They don't know, but based upon routines and generational things can begin to set up things in our life. And a lot of times we fall for the okey-doke. We fall for it. And we actually announce it. Well, today is Tuesday. It's going to be a bad day. And the enemy's like, or sometimes he's saying, I ain't even have to do nothing. I can't wait until it's Friday because I am so sick and tired. And we speaking it. If one more thing happened, I'm going to. And what the enemy is doing is saying, man, let me cook up that one more thing. Because you just said. Amen. Like sometimes this is not as deep as it seems. A lot of times we are the ones giving the enemy the intel that he needs to set up havoc in our life. Man, I'm telling you. Amen? Amen. So Esau says this, the last time we were talking. Jacob, Esau. Jacob steals Esau's birthright. And Esau says this, paraphrasing it. He said, when my dad dies, because I know he's about to die, I'm going to kill Jacob. And he says it. And his heart is inclined to doing that. But prior to that, God says to him, hey, when you get tired of being angry and hating Jacob, you will loosen the yoke that's around your neck. And so the power spiritually to be free is in our hands. It is with God's help, but it's in our hands. The power, Tremaine was reading it earlier today, Romans 10, 9 and 10, right? If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, and it is that same practice as we are living our life with God. So now that I've given my life unto Jesus Christ, if I open up my mouth and speak what God has spoken, it can shift things in my atmosphere. The power of life and death is saying what? The tongue. And so here it is, before we look at the scripture, is just take a moment and think about what type of havoc am I creating in my life based upon what I am saying, right? So the enemy is already active in the spiritual realm. Am I joining the enemy in what he is saying, or am I joining God in what he is saying? God says, you can eat of every tree in this garden, but the tree that deals with life and death, you shall not eat of it. For the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. The word of God says that. The enemy comes along and says, you shall not surely die. So whose voice are we listening to? What did God say? What did God say to you? If you say, I don't know, what does God's word say for you? Speak that. Because we have enough chatter on the line that goes against the word of God. And it is constant. So you've got to combat the chatter with the word. Not with, I just wish the devil would leave me alone. That ain't going to move the devil. When Satan came to tempt Jesus, Jesus kept coming back with what? It was word. It is written. It is written. It is written. So Jesus is showing us the way to combat evil is with the word. It's not always, a lot of us are just so ready to fight physically. We're ready to fight people. But the Bible is letting us know we don't battle against what? But it's against these principalities, these powers, these rulers of darkness, these spiritual wickedness in high places, and there are different dimensions to it as well. And so for some of us, you're dealing with this dimension, which may have come from your family. But for some, you've broken beyond that, and you're dealing with regional spiritual warfare, and you're wondering why it is intensifying in your life. This is also, it's making me emotional, because you have broken beyond the first level of spiritual warfare, and you're now dealing with regional things, and it has intensified in your life, and you want to go back, and God is saying, don't go back. Don't go back. It's like going back to a neighborhood where you know you could beat people just because you're losing in the next fight. You go back to the ones and you pick on people that you knew you could beat. Are y'all seeing that? And God is saying you're done with that neighborhood. You have broken out of that. And at times it may feel like you're still dealing with it, but it's not. It's this. Spiritually, you are not in the same place. But your mind keeps saying that you are. You're not. You have advanced the kingdom of God. And the reason why you feel lost is because spiritually you've stepped into a different realm. So what do? I intensify my worship. I intensify my time in the Word. I talk to people about the dreams and the visions that I'm having. But do, I always say this word because I feel like it's a double negative. But don't, do not do anything. Y'all know what I'm saying? Don't not do. Don't just sit there. Do something. And this might be for like 50% of the people in here, maybe even more. I'm going to say it again. You are not fighting the same battle you were fighting before. You have advanced. And if so, if you feel lost, you had all these routines here. And now you have stepped into a different level of kingdom battle, kingdom advancement. But you're trying to use the same things you used back here. And God is saying, you need to keep doing that, but increase more spiritual principles. Because you have advanced the kingdom of God. Is this making sense? But what happened is, we feel lost and disconnected and almost weary, so we step back. And we beat up on these areas. And we feel like we're better than people at this place. Well, at least I go to church. Well, at least I read my Bible once a day. Well, at least I pray for 15 minutes. But when you get to this level, it's not all about all that comparison. Amen? So let's look at the Word a little bit. I pray that that helps some people. Wow. Genesis 32:1 says this. Then as Jacob went on his way, the angels of God met him to reassure and protect him. We do not have to do this thing called life on our own. There are angels, literally in the scripture here. It says that the angels of God was there to reassure him. Like, you good. Sometimes we're picking up the phone and we're calling and we're waiting for someone to reassure us. And God is saying, if you can just get some time alone, just pray and you will sense my presence, which may be my angels letting you know, lift your head up, you got it, you're good. You're not crazy. You're not off. But then it says they also are there to protect him. Please know that in this moment, Jacob was afraid that Esau was going to kill him. So Jacob was just doing whatever he knew to do to keep moving. And some people ask that, well, what am I supposed to do until I know what to do? Keep moving. Do not stop. Don't stop. Don't stop. Keep moving. All the enemy wants you to do, I don't know if you've ever done this. I shared this before one time. That if you're out on the ocean and you're standing in the water and all of a sudden the waves are coming and you feel like I'm good. And all of a sudden, the waves begin to take you. And you turn around. You're like, where's my blanket? Where's my? Because the waves have drifted you without you even realizing it where you used to be. And that's just natural. So imagine if you are not active in your walk with God, you will turn around and find that where you started is not where you are any longer. Because just the waves of life have caused you to drift. And unless you keep checking back, you will find yourself way down there somewhere. In the midst of a crowded people, wondering, where is my blanket? Where's my towel? Where am I at? And sometimes, but I want to encourage us in this, and these are the moments where some people, we stop showing up to church, we stop showing up to the men's group, the women's group, the prayer, because we feel lost, and we feel, I'll just use the word towards myself, I'll also use it towards myself, we feel stupid. How did I get out here? How did I get out here? I was just right there. How am I out here? But can I say this? If you feel yourself drifting, come back. Don't just keep drifting. Come to church. Come to Bible study on Monday nights, 7 p.m. on Zoom. Why? Because you need to be weighed down. You need to be anchored so that you are not drifting. But if you are in this moment drifting, come on back. You're not lost. You're not lost. You're not lost. So there are angels to help us. You are not on your own. And this is nothing to be scared about. Because some of us, when we were younger, we had dreams about angels. Right? Nobody answered those questions. They are real. They're spirits. We can't see them unless they come in the form of a person. And we've seen that in the Bible several times. Amen? So be reminded of this. We do not have to live this life on our own. Amen. So angels are spiritual beings. They're intelligent. They have the will and the ability to worship. That's what we talked about, the holy, holy, holy. They are, some scriptures talk about them being majestic or massive beings, all-inspiring presence. They are sent to serve believers and tasked with carrying out God's purpose. I'm going to skip over that one there. Come to Bible study and we may talk about it a little bit more. Verse 2 says this, when Jacob saw the angels, he said, this is God's camp. So he named that place Mahanaim, which means double camps. Listen to this. So what Jacob was saying, I got my camp, man, but then there's an angel's camp. Woo! So really, I got two camps. I got the one that I created and established, and then I got God's camp. I am not alone. Whatever it is that you have established in life, please acknowledge that God's got a camp or a host that is willing to help you. Man, there's this one scripture in the Bible. I cannot remember the king, but he was riding, I think, a donkey or something. And the donkey kept stopping. And he was getting upset and everything. And what the donkey saw was that there was this massive angel standing there carrying a sword. And God was able to speak through the donkey to get this man to stop. Because the direction that this man was going in was the wrong direction. And this angel was standing there, almost as if when they got kicked out of the Garden of Eden, it says that there was an angel or a sword that was stopping them from coming back in. So these angels are there to protect us, to guide us, to fight for us in the spiritual realm. So if we're fighting on our own and you are getting worn out, it is possible that you are not speaking God's word, which means activating his angels to be able to fight on your behalf. Amen? Woo-wee. So it continues on. I'm going to kind of jump through some of this. So Jacob, he sent messengers ahead of him to his brother Esau in the land of Seir, the country of Edom. And then he commanded them, saying, this is what to say to my lord Esau. He says, your servant Jacob says this, I have been living temporarily with Laban and have stayed there until now. He says, I got my own oxen, donkeys, flock, male servants, female servants, and I have sent this message to tell my lord so that I may find grace and kindness in your sight. And then the messengers, listen to this. The messengers, they went to Esau, delivered the message, and then they returned to Jacob, and they said to Jacob, we went to your brother Esau, and now he is coming to meet you, and there are 400 men with him. And appreciative of them saying that. But sometimes we've got to watch how we receive stuff. Imagine telling somebody, hey, I want to start this business. Man, you know how much money it costs to start a business? And you got to watch it because it will put fear in your heart. You know, I'm going to go all in for God. Man, last time I went all in for God, all H-E double hockey sticks broke loose in my life. So you better watch going on. Watch who you are talking to. I say this a lot of times, so I feel as if God wants me to keep repeating it. Watch who you are talking to. What type of intel are you getting? Do you realize that the enemy can use somebody else to put fear in your heart? You say, you know what? I ain't watching that no more. And the enemy say, Dan, I can't talk to them through that TV show no more. But I got a coworker. And that coworker started, do you know there's 400 men? There's 400. I mean, we ain't never fought 400 before. We ain't never dealt with nothing with that before. And so sometimes it's good intel, but watch how it makes you feel. Does it cause you to panic and not advance God's kingdom? Or is it, check, got it? Or is it causing fear? For Jacob, it actually causes fear. And it says, Jacob was greatly afraid and distressed. So here's his strategy. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to divide the people who were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camel into two camps. And then he says, and if Esau comes to the one camp and attacks, then the other camp, which is left, will escape. Sounds like a good strategy? Y'all must have said, nope, don't sound good, not a good strategy. He says, now listen to this. This is where I want to stop. Genesis 32:9. Now Jacob, he put out there his plan, and he says, oh God, now he's praying, of my father, Abraham, and of God of my father Isaac, the Lord, who said to me, return to your country and to your people, and I will make you prosper. Then he goes on. He says, you know what, God? I am unworthy of all the loving kindness and compassion and all of the faithfulness which you have shown to your servant. Talking about himself. With only my staff long ago, I crossed over this Jordan, and now I have become blessed and increased into these two groups of people. Now he asks God, he says, save me, please, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau. He says, for I fear him that he will come and attack me and the mother's children. And then verse 12 says this, and you, Lord, said, I will certainly make you prosper and make your descendants as numerous as the sand of the sea, which is too great to be counted. And so some people say, you know, how should I pray? And we're talking about prayer during Bible study. Look at the first thing that Jacob acknowledges. He doesn't just come and say, you know, God, I have something that I want you to do in my life. He says, look, God, number one, you're a God of covenant. And then he says, God, you said to me. So he's literally saying, God, I'm just going to repeat to you what you said to me. You said, God, to return to your country. You said, turn to your people. You said, God, that you would make me prosperous. So here it is. When we are going into prayer, sometimes we start off with this. God, I'm so unworthy. God, I'm nothing. But I love how Jacob started. He says, look, I know I messed up, but God, you said. So literally, Jacob is speaking God's words back to God before he's being honest about where he is or who he is. So in our prayer time, whatever it is that we're asking God for, what does God say? What does his word say? Are you praying for healing? What does the Bible say about healing? Is there anything in the Bible that speaks about healing? If you're praying for salvation for your household, is there anything in the Bible that speaks to this? If you're praying about your finances, is there anything in the Bible that speaks of that? If you're praying for just mentally, is there anything in the Bible? Is there anything in God's word that we can speak back to him rather than coming and saying, God, it's your humble servant again. I know that I'm nothing and I'm just a sinner and I'm not worthy of anything that you give me. Get there, but don't start there. Because if not careful, when the answer comes, I'm in such a low state that I can't hear it. But if I start and finish my prayer with the promises of God, now my ears is open to hear what God is going to say next. But if I get stuck, oh, wretched sinner am I, unworthy of anything you have for me, God, then my ears is closed. But if I finish with this, God, you said, I will certainly make you prosper and make your descendants as numerous as the sand of the sea, which is too great. God, I didn't come up with this. You said it. And so, God, not that I have to remind you, but I'm reminding you of what you said you're going to do in my life. So it's not by might nor by power, but it's by God's Spirit that this is going to be done. And so if you're praying and your prayer does not include what God has already said about you, then what is happening is that it is possible that you've got these angels that's waiting to engage, but you have not spoken God's word, so they cannot respond on your behalf. I've seen it this way, that angels, and this probably is not true, but they're looking over the balcony of heaven and saying, I want to help my brother. I want to help this sister, but I can't. Because they are speaking doubt and fear and worry, and my hands are tied. I can't move because you're speaking against my assignment. The angel says, my assignment is whatever God's word says to carry it out. But if I'm not speaking God's word, then the angels are saying, just say God's word. But demons, when I'm speaking doubt and fear, they say, yeah, yeah, keep saying it, keep saying it, keep saying it. Because with your tongue, you are loosing life or death, blessings or calamity. Angels is here for blessings. Demons is here for calamity. Who are you calling into the battle? Amen? all this is going on, and you wondering why you waking up feeling the way you are. All this activity happening up here, and you are this person with the Holy Spirit on the inside. And guess who they fighting for? They're fighting against one another for you. But when you speak God's word, the angels hearken unto the voice of the word. Amen? Woo-wee! So if you're not reading the word, you probably ain't speaking it. And can I say this? Cliches don't work. Well, you know, God will never put more on you than you can bear. Where is that at in the word? That is not a scripture. There's a scripture that deals with that. But that's not the word. Well, you know, just sometimes you just got to go through the fire, and you just got to go through, because then your ministry is going to come out of that. So I'm just going through this because my ministry going to come out of this. I'm going to go touch a whole bunch of lives. Is that in the word? There's examples of that. Please don't speak stuff just because you hear somebody else saying it. What does the Bible say? Speak it. Because it's either blessings or calamity, life or death. Amen? Man, telling you. And songs are not as powerful. This is how I fight my battle. There's a song that deals with that. It's like, okay, I get it. Speak the word. So if you're not reading the Bible, you are ill-equipped with the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. And so who are you releasing? And so one of the things, you got to come to Bible study. So I'm going to speak this into the atmosphere. If you're not doing anything on Monday nights at 7 p.m., in the comfort of your own space, you're able to join Bible study. We're talking about prayer. Do not depend upon the meal that you receive on Sunday to sustain you all week. And even when after Bible study, you've got to keep eating on the word of God. You got to keep praying and praising and worshiping. Please. The battle that we're in right now, and again, this is not one that calls fear and all of that. I'm just saying that the enemy, if you're already saved, it doesn't stop there. Please. The enemy is upset that we're going to heaven, but he's more upset when your life touches the life of someone else and then that person decides that they want to receive Jesus and then they go on to heaven. So if your seat is secure, that doesn't mean that he's going to stop. He don't want you to be an influence of somebody else's life. So don't settle that, man, I'm so glad I'm saved. Awesome. Let's get to work now. Because there's other people that need to be reached for Jesus Christ as well. Amen? I shared a lot. You can go onto our website at purposechurchde.org, and under the sermon section, you can listen to this message. Because faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Amen. Man. I'm going to say this one last time. Things have intensified. Some of y'all are not where you used to be. You have advanced. Like in Monopoly, right? You advance. Go past go and you collect your 200, right? But you're in a different arena now. It's not nothing to be scared of. Just to be aware of. So the way that you used to read and used to pray and used to praise and worship all that, you've got to pick it up to match where you are now. And that's the reason why I believe God is sharing this stuff with us about angels and all of that. Because somebody didn't tell you about angels. So here that was okay. But God is saying the warfare that you're experiencing, you need to know that you got some help. Stop fighting like you're still in elementary school. You're no longer in elementary school. You no longer have recess time where you can just play and all that. You have advanced.
Thank you once again for listening to Pastor Will's message. We hope that it has been a blessing to you today. Our goal is to help you experience God's love, grow in His love, and live out His purpose for your life. We invite you to join us live each Sunday at 11 a.m. to hear Pastor Will's message. For more information, encouraging messages, and events, please visit us online at purposechurchde.org.